Are we on the internet? Hello, internet kids. This is Off-Broadway, music and interviews and more, hosted by Phil Leach, although he's not here right now, and this is your other host, Phil2/Phil Hunt, normally on at Tuesdays at 10, but tonight is a special broadcast in coincidence with the Worlds Collide. No, not quite. And it's at Luigi's Conservatory. You might have noticed if you went to the Worlds Collide gallery on the internet that those pictures weren't working correctly, but those pictures will be up for the rebroadcast. And in case you're writing this down, we've got rebroadcast coming for you on Tuesday, April 4th from noon to midnight. This show will be repeating for the whole time. Thursday at April 6th, noon to midnight. Sunday, April 9th, noon to midnight. So if you're not doing anything from noon to midnight on April 4th, April 6th, April 9th, you're going to want to tune in and hear this for a second time. And, you know, if you heard it the first time, I don't know, you might pick up a little bit of nuance that you missed the first time around. Anyway, this Worlds Collide thing is a combination art, music, and technology thing. Jupiter Lander they're playing tonight, and a band called Transporter, who I've never seen before. Anyway, so what are we doing, Roger?
Well, thanks, Phil. We have Donald Renner. He's one of the artists being featured in the exhibit tonight. And
Okay. So
this is Donald Renner.
All right.
Hello.
Donald Renner, artist.
Talking to the mic as close as you can.
Okay, okay. So do you have any take on this stoner rock slash art slash technology thing?
Well, I don't know. I think that the phenomenology of stoner rock. No, I don't know. Well, okay, I think about it this way a lot of times, speaking from personal experience, of course, you know, that the psychological effects that you get from smoking pot sometimes does seem to at least enhance your aesthetic experience, right?
Okay.
For example, the band Black Sabbath, right? You can listen to Black Sabbath when you're not high, right? And then it's like, okay, Black Sabbath. When you listen to Black Sabbath, when you're high, you're like, oh, Black Sabbath, right? And I don't know what it is. It's definitely something to do with neurochemistry and all that sort of thing. But
did you know that Black Sabbath denies that their song Sweet Leaf is about pot?
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
I do, too.
It seems...
I think that's a load of crap, yeah.
That might be for some sort of political reason that they do that, yeah.
So your paintings are the colorful assemblages on the east wall, yes.
Yep.
And how'd you get invited to... did you help organize this, or did you...
Well, actually, it just all kind of came together. I heard a few names, made a couple of phone calls, and then everything else just kind of was real easy.
Okay.
Very little effort, just kind of showed up, did my thing, and talked to some few people. A lot of very, very gifted people, obviously, creative people involved in getting this thing put together, and I really just... All I had to do was just show up, really, you know?
So, were you... are you a... I hate to make any distinction. Are you a professional artist in the area?
Well,
are you a student artist? Or
well, I'm
a mixture of both.
I'm what you would call I create art because there sometimes is nothing better to do.
Okay.
And as far as I have actually been so I mean I've made some under the table non-taxable. And actually, if anyone in the IRS would like to audit this, I could definitely demonstrate that I did not make any profit off of the art that I've created. So, you know, don't worry about that sort of thing.
Did you declare that?
No, I did not declare it simply because I could have written it off as educational cost. No profit. No income was made. So technically, I guess I'm not a professional artist, but I'm. I create out of therapeutic reasons.
Therapeutic.
Therapeutic.
Would you care to delve into what therapeutic value you get from the art you're creating?
Yes,
the,
yes, I would.
What,
I would really.
What
like,
okay. What does your artwork exhume from
okay.
your psyche?
Okay. Now, okay, frustration. Frustration.
But I'm not drinking.
Frustration
anymore.
is a common
like a beer.
Is a recurring. Emotion.
Okay, back to okay. I got sidetracked.
It has,
someone asked me for a drink.
It has something to do with frustration and ideas that get so compounded that they can't take any other form. You know, it's definitely a form of communication, right? I think of it this way. When I'm painting, I'm trying to say something,
okay.
even though I may not be fully aware of what I'm trying to actually say or to whom I'm trying to say it
okay.
to. Okay, but there's an element of frustration involved. There's a desire to communicate something that seems to be beyond my ability to either put it into like a verbal form or something of that nature. You know, it's like trying to say something that is beyond my means at that point, but then once I've put it into the image, it seems to have satisfied a need to at least express either an emotion or to rid myself of something very cathartic, you know,
okay.
like I've got this in me and I want to get it out, but I don't know how to get it out, so I'll pick up a paintbrush and then you know.
Okay. Well, do you have any specific things that you've gotten out with your art then? Like, do you care to get any more specific with that? Like,
well, okay. Well, I'd be delving into
large circular painting on the wall.
Okay.
You know, is there any hints as to what you're getting out of your system?
Jesus.
You know, these are things that artists. You know, have to discuss. You know,
okay.
they have to impress all those jurors and.
Well, you see that. All I can make reference to, I guess, is the things that were happening in my life. I'd graduated from college. I stuck around for another semester because there's more classes I wanted to take, and I didn't feel like I was done with things. So, and I was thinking about the nature of good and the existence of God and suffering and morality and pain and evil and behavior and free will and all of these things that were just so, you know, frustrating because really, I mean, when you want to try to find answers to those transcendental universal questions of human existence, you know, what is good? Is there God? You know, am I free? Why am I here? What am I doing? What the hell is all of this shit about? You know, and there's like obviously going to be an emotional component to that. And where does it go? You know, if it just sits in there and percolates, it's destructive, right? So that inner stuff that's definitely real and there operates, and it wants to get out. You know, I mean, it really wants to get out, but you have to find a place, a constructive way to get it out, right? So you can see the emotions that are expressed in that could be expressed in like rape or murder or you know, stabbing someone or something like that. Those are the kind of emotions, but of course, you see that is not something that I, as a logical, rational man, would want to do. So, no, what do? So, I pick up a paintbrush and paint.
Okay.
A lot of demons in your history.
Jessica.
Sure, I've got
Jessica.
Some demons. Yeah, demons are all there.
Huh?
Jessica.
Of course.
Hey, run into it.
How would you feel about interviewing one of the artists? Or
oh, I'd love it.
I just want to, I'm going to go get a drink, and I'd like to leave you with one thing. You touch a doorknob, it'll set you on fire.
Okay.
Well, wait. You have to ask the question.
Is this on air then?
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay. I feel that from experiencing your artwork and knowing you personally through high school, back from 89 all the way through, that your artwork really does express a lot of demonism within. I just see that in two
questioning how you define demonism. I mean, the demon could be it's a metaphor for
okay.
a psychological problem. Saying that it's demonism, making reference to an actual
spiritual entity such as a demon from hell. I don't know if I'd really want to admit
that, but I don't want to go that far.
A demon can be an expressive metaphor for suffering. Or for suffering that is a result of one's own behavior, right? Self-destructive patterns, right?
Sure. Okay.
And I definitely make a connection between the creative urge and the self-destructive urge, you know, there's a fine line between the two, and the artist is always toying with those and always riding that as like a driving force, you know. I mean,
I just want to bring attention to the words you use: toying, riding, driving.
Well, I feel those words are very expression. They're full of expression, but what you, Mr. Renner,
yeah,
Donnie, I see. I just wonder if it isn't these hallucinogenic experiences that we have in life that bring us to these moments when we express them in these ways that you're describing. I'm not describing a demon as in the way the demon seems to be,
right?
Quote unquote. That's what I'm using with my hands right now. But I'm just saying the way it possibly could be. You're expressing it in a way that. It just seems to me, from my past experiences, and I'll admit flat out, tripping out.
Sure.
It seems pretty damn fucking cool. You know, and it expresses a lot to me. I can feel the demons piercing my soul when I look at your paintings, and that's why I'm asking you, where is it at? I mean, what are you trying to express yourself through through the work itself?
I wouldn't say that it's that there's any sort of conscious political agenda that I have, right?
Okay,
when I come to make a painting, when I get to the point where I'm down and I'm saying to myself,
sure.
Okay, I'm going to make a painting.
Right? Yeah, okay.
I'm not there and I'm not saying, let's.
I'm going to bring Jessica Hasler.
Okay.
Oh,
hey.
Introduce yourself too. No problem. By the way, my name is Jason Livinggood, Fargo South, Bruin 92 graduate. By the way, we have
Jessica Hasler
here, who wants to add a few comments. One moment.
I just want to say something. If anyone knows, the demonic elements are merely a metaphor. There's no... I'm not saying worship Satan. I'm not saying that...
And I never meant that he was worshiping Satan.
Or anything of that nature. It
No.
It's merely a metaphor for certain psychological conditions that are, could be attributable to... Okay. We are now going to interview a very, very gifted artist, Jessica
Hasler.
Oh,
you're so sweet.
She, I really don't know very much about her background. I am an acquaintance of her, but we'll just kind of shoot from the hip and see where the interview goes. I have one burning question that I really like to ask all artists. How did you get involved in art? What did you at some point in your development have a discovery? Were you pushed by your parents, the school system? What was it that drew you to it? Why? Why did you start creating?
I don't know. I think all the other kids were really good at eating dirt, and that just wasn't my forte, so I drew. And yes, my parents really encouraged me a lot.
If you could say that art encapsulates something in your life besides art, what would it be? Why do you do it?
Well, there's a wonderful quote by somebody that I can't remember, of course, because I'm really bad with names, but it's, I create instead of weeping, and that is the only reason.
Okay.
And that's true. Usually I have my best spurts when I've had some big, tumultuous, emotional upheaval, and that's how it goes.
Okay. You made reference to weeping, which brings to my mind some sort of pain or suffering or something of that nature.
Yeah, and
now,
I think everybody
can... Do you
find
that as being a contributing factor in your need, your desire to paint? Do you feel like sometimes you have like so much pain that you have to get it out somewhere, or is it something other than that? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean, and that's exactly it. It's not pain, though. It's joy, it's anger, it's excitement, devastation. It all kind of, the ebb and flow, it all ties in.
So there's an emotional element.
Definitely emotional element.
Have you had any influences over the years?
Yes, I have had many influences. I guess you're wanting me to tell you, huh?
Yes, I would like to know.
I really, with the stuff that I just did, was really influenced by David Sally and the guy that I was seeing, Brad Smart Jesse. He really made me look at differently at art, and I have a lot, you know, I'd like to thank him for that. But as far as, again, I just, it's like I absorb the images and I have a hard time with the names. But,
right.
But yes, yeah, so I'm influenced all the time. Every day I see something that influences me.
Do you sometimes feel isolated as an artist, that you're somehow apart from the general society?
A
that
freak?
Something, yeah, like a freak.
Absolutely.
Why is that? Is okay, this is the general question. This is the question I want answered. Is artism a mental disorder? Is it actually something that
I
could be diagnosable as a mental disorder?
It's not
disease?
A mental disorder. I think it's just a different mental order. You see things
Why
differently.
Why is it that there's a consistent correlation, and I don't know the numbers here, and this may be false, but there seems to be at least an identifiable correlation between some sort of...
No, because the world is set up with linear ways. Everything is structured in a very, you know, cubical form, and I think artists are much more, you know, all over the place. And if you don't fit in that realm, then of course you're not going to be, you know, feeling like you're normal.
Do you ever feel like you're alienated?
Do I feel like I'm an alien?
No, alienated. Well, an alien, alienated, I guess then.
Yes, to both of the questions.
How do you cope?
How do I cope? I make stuff.
You make stuff.
I make stuff and I freak out. And I just try to enjoy the ride.
If there were a general message that you were trying to communicate with your pieces, what would you say that what is it? What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that everybody should just have a butt jamming good time.
What if they're incapable of having a butt-jamming good time?
Oh, everybody is.
Oh, okay. All right.
Everybody is.
All right. That's a presupposition, but sometimes I feel like I'm just incapable of having a good time.
Oh, Don, but you are.
Yeah, I know.
You are love. You just got to feel it.
I know.
Just go with it.
Well, I think we have better pass the mic on to whoever's prompting.
All right. Pass it on.
All right. Thanks to Jessica Hassler that we were just interviewing. My name is Donald Renner. I am the designated interviewer here. We have Madam Petra.
Hello.
And Sir, I forgot your name, goddamn. Sir Seth and Madam Tiffany here. They are patrons of the exhibit that we are having this evening. Hopefully there are some people listening to this. But I don't really care if there are or there aren't. But hello, if there is anyone listening to this, I'd be quite surprised if there was. So, Petra.
Yes, Don.
Now, something comes to mind. Now, I recall you saying, okay, this is from Tiffany. You and Tiffany were talking about a tree one day, right? And you were saying something about the meaning of tree. And you said, when I see tree, I see physics. I see the physics of tree-ness. Can you expound on that for a little bit?
I'd just like to say one thing. Let go of the tree. This tree has come back to me
twice
today. I don't even remember the conversation, really. No, I do remember the conversation. Julie was bashing physics. Yes, and Tiffany and Julie were both bashing physics, and so there was no practical application to physics.
Okay.
And I that was earlier, and then later on I said something about when I look under a tree, I see a beautiful place to sit.
Right. And I said, but you can also look at it as you can look at the physics of the tree.
Right.
The dynamics of the tree.
Except you said it more emphatically, like, when I look at a tree, I see physics.
Yeah. I didn't say it like that. I was just trying to stick up for physics. That's all I was trying to do. Am I expounding this? I was trying to
yes,
stick up for physics.
Yes. I think we're being cut off here.
Oh, this is
but
horrible.
I have just one yes or no question for you.
All right.
Can everything that exists be explained in the language of physics?
No.
All right. Lauren,
this is Lauren, and are you one of the organizers of this here little shindig?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so first burning question I've got is where is the connection of technology, art, and stoner rock? I'm just judging on Jupiter Lander because that's what they've. I mean, that's their self-described description. And I haven't heard Transporter yet, so that'll be a new experience for me. But
right.
You know, I'm just wondering, what particular choice of bands? What exactly was the motive?
Well, I don't know. Just having Jupiter, you know, Lander in the title was, if that wasn't enough, and then, you know, they have like kind of the sci-fi theme, you know, going on in some of the tunes, and they're one of my favorite bands in town, so I was pretty thrilled to get them to do it at all.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing I've wondered, you know, their little genre of stoner rock. I've kind of wondered, are you of the opinion that mind-altering substances enhance the experience of art and music and all that, or does it just make you hungry?
Well, from what I've read, I would say yeah, it certainly does, and
okay.
That
does it make. That it makes you hungry? Yeah, it certainly makes you hungry.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, I wouldn't know.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some people that, you know, that I think have maybe done drugs, and they seemed kind of hungry.
Well, I've watched, you know, the movies and stuff.
Right, yeah.
I've seen the movies and the you know, the
like that
the typical
show,
long-haired
right?
guy who's like, you know, says dude a lot.
Yeah.
You know, those guys. I've seen those guys.
Right.
And from what I understand is, you know, they start, you know, I don't know. We're carrying on too far along with this stupid little joke I've created at the very top of the show. But anyway, so when did you decide to put this together? How long has this been in the making?
It's been about 2 months in the process since like we booked the room and it's just, you know, tried to give everybody enough lead time, you know, to get everything, you know, it's obviously an elaborate setup and we needed all the time we could get. And we
did you have to drop a lot of cash for something like this then?
Yeah, it was pretty close to $400.
Okay.
That's
plenty of money.
Yeah.
I've dealt with that sort of thing before.
Yeah, it's worth every dime.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always fun to put something on.
Yeah.
Something interesting. How did you select the artists that are featured tonight on the wall and on the floor and throughout the room?
Well, I hope nothing is on the floor that's not supposed to be. But,
well, you know, the one thing I noticed particular is the robot,
oh yeah,
the robot sculpture,
right?
You know, that's on the floor. I think it's safe to say that's on the floor.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, it's mostly been like friends, and then friends of friends. You know, people have heard about the show and just gave me a call, finding out what the deal is, and they told me what they had, and you know, people that brought their stuff down has worked out really well. And
was it a strict guideline? I mean, I noticed some of the art. Is pretty blatantly mixed with technology, but you know, the whole theme of worlds collide, art, technology, music. Was that a strict guideline that the art had to say something about technology? Because some of the stuff, just by looking at it, like at the first glance, I don't pick up on that. You know,
right?
And you know, I really haven't had time to draw any connections yet, but
right.
But you know, how'd you make the connection for yourself in
it? Well, we tried to keep it kind of open, you know, like you know, we wanted enough like blatantly you know, sci-tech themed stuff to like establish the overall mood, and yet leave it open enough to have some things that are open to interpretation and that's not so obvious, you know.
Do you think there's anything in the show tonight that does not? I mean, that's totally aside from the theme of this evening's show. Do you think there's anything that, you know, just doesn't fit in, but it's still cool?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, like Don, his stuff seems to have a lot of religious themes to it, you know. Okay. But it all depends
Some
on how you tie it in.
Some would say that technology is a religion, you know.
Yeah, and it's
or
all right.
Art or music or any of that.
Right. Yeah, I read an Arthur C. Clarke short story that was that ended up with the beginning of the story of the devil being a this other race, you know, from outer space or whatever that kind of like governed Earth for a while, and they like failed miserably at it and ended up taking off, and they had like horns and like a spiked tail, you know. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, let me think here. Can you offer us, everybody who came here tonight got these
laser shades?
Laser shades, 3D fireworks glasses.
Well, see, we were supposed to get the ones that said laser shades on them,
but
over the phone, you know, that's a problem.
Well, you know, the 3D fireworks glasses is still kind of cool.
Yeah.
What can you give us any idea what that's for tonight? I mean, there's probably like you know, 4 or 5 people listening right now who don't know what that's for, and you know, they don't know that everybody here got a pair of fireworks, 3D fireworks glasses,
laser
AKA
shades.
Laser shades. I mean, what can you give us any idea what that's going to be about?
Well, it's we try to like maximize the the visual stimulation of the show, you know, and
okay.
Like I got a pair of laser shades at the Pink Floyd laser show in Minneapolis.
Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're the same shades that we've got tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was at the laser show at the Planetarium. Yeah. And,
Laser Floyd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually went to school in a small northern Minnesotan town, and we got Canadian radio. And Laser Floyd came to Winnipeg when I was in high school sometime. And I remember a whole bunch of people in my class went to that.
Oh, yeah,
anyway,
awesome.
That's kind of an aside here that doesn't really relate to
right.
This whole conversation.
But yeah, we got them then, and anytime we were looking for a different state of mind or in one, then we donned the laser shades, and it was those experiences that kind of made us want to share the experience and give them to you know, on a massive scale.
So I don't know. I've never done acid, but does a 3D fireworks glasses create tracers? Is that what tracers are? When you see the little rainbow colored lights?
Well, I don't know. From what I've read, it's you know, people you know, any kind of like optical stimulation, everything is heightened, you know.
Okay.
And to add that extra element is really enough to just really push you over.
Okay, well, since we haven't had a plug here tonight for the Coach and Six radio station, if anybody, and for the other sponsors of this whole Coach and Six off-Broadway thing, one of which is Yachtzine, which I am a writer for and an editor. So I'm going to propose a contest to any Yachtzine readers out there. If anybody can write to us and the best explanation of an acid trip, if they can, you know, explain what it's like, you know, in a creative and you know, interesting way, we'll send them a Yachtzine T-shirt, and you know, maybe you'll get a reading at the next art and technology and Worlds Collide thing. Do you plan on doing more of these? I shouldn't be so presumptuous.
I think it's a one-time deal.
You maybe, maybe you could do different themes, like, you could throw an exact opposite and go nature, and then you could go, processed foods. And
yeah, processed foods, that's an interesting idea.
I've been eating a lot of Carl Budding ham sandwiches lately. Have you ever
heard
of Carl Budding?
Carl Budding?
You know, they're the little plastic envelopes of meat that you get at the grocery store.
Oh.
Very, very thin slice.
I think I have an uncle named Carl.
This is the exact opposite of drunken intellectualizing. I'm talking about ham envelopes.
All right. Well,
okay. Well, anyway, we got Lauren, who what's your last name, Lauren?
Lang.
Lauren Lang of the Worlds Collide organizational team has put this on for us tonight and is allowed off Broadway to be here tonight to bring it to the world.
And we're very glad they did and very appreciative of these guys for going through the trouble.
Thanks a lot, Lauren. Okay, Phil. Do you feel as crazy as I do tonight?
Well, you know, I'm drinking Grain Belt.
Okay.
You know.
Next up, we have John Bauer.
John Bauer.
Of Tainted Productions. He's going to come on and tell us a little bit about what he's doing in town here with
Tainted Productions. Is that is that one of the co-organizers of tonight's event?
No, not a co-organizer. Actually,
just
J-Sauce, one of the artists that records.
Oh, okay.
With Tainted Productions. He's doing a song with the band Transporter tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
J-Sauce has been a regular on this whole off-Broadway thing. I guess just two shows he's been on. But he saved the first show that Phil Leach, who is not here, and I did.
Yeah, J-Sauce has a great stage presence. He gets the crowd into it, and a lot of the songs he's working on are... They're great.
He's a lot better at saying interesting stuff than I think I am, and I don't know. He's a good talker. And not to mention a good rapper.
Yeah.
I like his song "Stuck With It." That's an awesome song.
Yeah.
Anyway,
at Tainted Productions right now. Our website is www.tainted.net.
Okay.
And basically, we're just recording different artists in the area. Right now,
are you releasing the CDs or albums or just recording?
Well, we have ongoing projects with a couple different artists, and mostly it's with friends of friends that just come in and drop stuff down.
So, do you have much besides J-Sauce? Is it a fair amount of hip hop, or what do you have? What does Tainted have to offer?
Well, mostly my roommate and he does the beats. And I do, like, the engineering and producing of songs. And convert them to MP3, get them out there on the net for people, things like that.
First and foremost you and your roommate's music, or is it?
Yeah, okay. Mostly.
Okay.
And, well, J-Sauce does pretty much all of his own beats and stuff like that. He just uses the equipment. And
do you record under the name Tainted, or is it something else? Or do you record under various names?
Well, my roommate and I are J&J.
J&J?
Productions.
Okay.
The stuff we work on. But otherwise, Tainted is the all-inclusive name.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, www.tainted.net.
Correct.
All right. They're ready to go? The bands are ready to go? Okay. Well, I guess we're going to hear some music here pretty soon. And we were talking to, I'm sorry, John Bauer? Yeah, okay. I'm bad with, I like hear names and they like go right through my ears. I don't like, I'm a bad listener, except for, you know, I'm a good listener when I'm having a conversation. When it comes down to names, I'm terrible at it. I have, like, an overabundance of names that I'm terrible with. But John Bauer of Tainted Productions, and you can check out his projects at www.tainted.net. And J-Sauce at mp3.com, which would be mp3.com/J-Sauce, correct? With no hyphens or space, just J-Sauce. I think you can figure that out. Who is the first band playing tonight, Roger?
Okay, well, thanks for asking, Phil. Actually, it's a band that is kind of unexpected, but it's a last-minute thing, but it's going to be Aaron and Andy. They have a band called Unsponge and Sporadic Mechanic. Okay, we're going to turn it over now to listen to the bands. We'll be back when the bands are done for some more interviews.
Thank you.